my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
It's showtime.
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of the VHS Strikes Back. I am one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to the VHS Strikes Back, the show where we dust off the old video player and go on a nostalgic journey to look at the good and the bad movies of yesteryear. Now, Chris, what are we going to review this week?
Well, Dave, we're going back to 1966, the year England actually had a successful football team, and we're going to be picking a movie that stars Phil Silvers, Buster Keaton, Michael Crawford, Dave, amongst others. It's called A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, and it's been picked by our Patreon and good friend, Mr. Matt Bates. Now, I will be discussing this with Matt. I mentioned it last week. When we actually go to Las Vegas and meet up finally in person, why you picked this movie, Dave? That's all I'm going to say. So, did you know anything about this film before, Dave?
No, I'd never heard of it at all. And it's funny because when you look at it, there's something about it that just feels familiar. It sort of reminds me of those, you know, long summer holidays or, you know, Sunday afternoons when this is on the TV for what seems like the whole fucking afternoon. And
Jason and the Argonauts, usually.
Jason and the Argonauts, Carry On, Up the Khyber, or you
Zulu
know, all,
or whatever. Yeah.
Zulu is another one as well. It just feels like it should have been a staple on, you know, the three channels that we had for a long time, and then four, you know, it became later. I can't believe this hasn't been on. So I can only think that, you know, they didn't have a commission for this. They wouldn't pay for it or something. But, I mean, Matt's obviously seen it at some point and must, maybe it was a family favourite or something. But, yeah, it felt like it should be Carry On Caesar or something like that, shouldn't it? You know, and you have got a familiar actor or two in the background. I can't remember what the chap's name is. He only plays like a really small part in this, but he was definitely part of the Carry On. You've got Michael Crawford as well. So, yeah, no real kind of frame of reference for this one other than that feeling of, honestly, Chris, being primarily bored as a kid when shit like this was on the TV.
It's funny, you know, because you're right. I think it's the familiarity because the Carry On movies, when we were younger, that's so we could pretty much, even now, David, I'm sure a lot of our listeners are around us the same age as me and you, but you always had, didn't you, like, you'd have, in the morning, I remember waking up, there used to be stuff like, you'd watch, I still get up and watching the GoBots and Transformers and all that sort of thing and Mask and everything. But then it'd be like, as the day went on, you'd have, remember Wide Awake Day, that was on like 9:30 on BBC One?
Yeah.
They had Wide Awake. Then you'd have reruns. I love like the Norman Wisdom films. You'd have like Norman Wisdom films, George Formby films. But then you'd have, then it would go to, you know, at the afternoon, or it'll be Carry On, or the evening Carry On movies. One, you know, Sid James chasing fucking Barbara Windsor. And we've all watched them. We grew up with them. They were like our parents' sort of movies, weren't they? Like comedy sort of thing. And
yeah,
they were synonymous really as kids for us in this generation of like, a movie that was always on TV, a bit of light relief. It's not something too heavy like a Zulu or Bridge of the River Kwai, whatever. I mean, one of my favorite longest movies ever, James Bond. Yeah, James Bond. He had Star Wars as well as in the 80s. One of my favorites ever at this era of movies is The Great Escape. I fucking love that movie. We've never reviewed it. I'm sort of, because it's 3 hours, Dave. I love the movie and I've watched it loads. I've got it on DVD in there, double DVD special edition and all that crap, but I've not watched it for about 10 years. I've watched bits of it on TV so these 60s movies were very easy to watch. I used to love stuff like Randall and Hopkirk, Deceased Day of the TV show, you know, Mission Impossible, Man from U.N.C.L.E., all these, you know, so you've got that 60s feel. They're always on the UK, even into like the 90s, this sort of stuff. So going back to this, it is feel. This is just like a Carry On movie. And I do think I've seen it because I remember Phil Silvers, you know, who's Marcus Lickard, because I love Sergeant Bilko. I mean, Nan loves Sergeant Bilko. My mum's one of Anna Rain. She loved, and we had it on video and it was on BBC Two. I used to love watching it. So I remember seeing him in this, and then it was like my granddad or someone saying, "That's Sergeant Bilko." I'm like, "Is it? Fuck, where's his glasses?" Which they, I realised Richard Leston that said he wasn't allowed to wear his glasses in this because that's what made him famous. So I've seen bits of it, definitely, but never seen it all the way through. And you know what, Dave? I'm fucking glad I didn't. But anyway, let's get into it. Sorry, Matt.
You know, I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent, because when you're saying about Sergeant Bilko, what was the one? Was it Private Benjamin or something like that?
What Goldie Hawn?
Goldie Hawn,
yeah.
I remember that one as well. So, yeah, there was just a lot of this stuff on the TV, wasn't there? Kids, Chris, they don't know they're born today with their streaming services and YouTube, access to DVDs and Blu-rays and stuff. Yeah. You know, but what I was thinking, right, so this is 10 years before I was born, which in my head for a lot of my life might as well have been Roman times, you know. So how many times have we seen fucking, you know, England winning the World Cup, and you see that old footage from 66 and it's usually in black and white, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it feels like it was fucking forever ago. But 10 years ago from today is 2014. It doesn't seem that long ago, no. You know? So I just, the older I get, the more I think about, you know, things that happened in the 20th century is just not being that long ago, you know, in reference to where you were born yourself. And these guys, you know, so I went off on a little bit of a rabbit hole. So we will get to the movie at some point, but because I've been helping my daughter with a GCSEs and stuff, and it's a lot of the history stuff is around the Cold War. I think I've said to you before, it's like, fucking hell, this is my life. My life is now in a history book. But you sort of look at this movie, and let's face it, there's a lot of people that are old. Like, you know, they're older than us. And this guy, Jack Gilford, is one of the people who are recognized. And I was looking at him, and because of this stuff, right, so let me jump right back. Right after the war, right, and see, I didn't know this shit. The Allies, basically, we fell out with Russia really quite quick, you know, when it came to divvying up Europe and stuff, and those arguments, like the US side were pushing for the free market, whereas, you know, the US the USSR were pushing more the communist angle on it. So yeah, this all happened really quick, and right at the end of the war, obviously you see this in Oppenheimer, I guess. I've not seen it yet, but you know, America's dropped a couple of atomic bombs, but someone let it slip to the Russians how to fucking make one. So it became in the US this real kind of conspiracy around, like, who's released the secrets. There were these guys, I think it was the Rosenbergs, they basically got put to death because it was thought to be them, even though there wasn't a lot of evidence. But then there became this massive paranoia about, like, who was on the side of the communists, who was on the side of the Russians. And so within, like, the acting community and directors and stuff, they were looking for, like, communist propaganda. And this guy, Jack Gilford, along with the main guy, so Zero Mostel, were blacklisted. Because basically they were speaking out against this kind of McCarthyism and stuff. And I'm really kind of out. People like Tony will know this shit way better than I do. But I'm just kind of learning about this stuff. And I'm thinking, these guys would have lived through this. They would have lived through the war, you know, and they'd have been acting and whatever. Do you remember, what was the guy, the Penguin?
Yeah.
We saw the footage of him, and I was thinking, these guys with these rich lives, you know, and doing this fucking shit movie. So yeah, it's just a weird mental rabbit hole that I was off down, and thinking that, you know, they really had to kind of suffer for their art, as they say.
you know what though? And it's interesting because, like, I think you said about like the 20th century, you think the evolution of the 20th century to now and how privileged we are as people compared to the people who came before us, our grandparents, whatever, you know, wars, everything. Yeah. And you know, all right, for us, the one thing we dealt with was a lockdown. It's not the end of the world. We got told to stay inside, didn't we, and drink loads of beer and have barbecues.
Watch
every
Netflix.
Day. Yeah, it's amazing how the weather has been absolutely shit. Now everyone's back at work, but at the time, no planes, no, there's something there. But from March 2020 to like bloody September, it was unbelievable, wasn't it? It was like a free-for-all. No wonder I put weight on, Dave. It was fucking drinking. I think we're so privileged and the way we can express ourselves and our kids can express ourselves and their kids will express themselves now. There is more things that are available to get yourself out there, to do things. When we were younger, you had two or three TV channels, didn't you? These sort of movies were just adapted all the time, weren't they? I mean, I hated watching movies on ITV as a kid. They were on Back to the Future first come on BBC. I was so happy, Dave. I'm like, don't put it on ITV. Whereas now, Back to the Future is on fucking ITV nearly every Saturday or whatever. But when we were younger, I was like, please go to ITV. Star Wars, for the love of God, it's got to be on the BBC. Nope, ITV. James Bond, ITV.
Have you seen was it Chile or Brazil or something, where they incorporated beer adverts into Star Wars? Have you seen that?
Yes, I have seen. Yeah,
it's fucking amazing.
Yeah,
I think you can get like little action figures of, you know, Uno Cerveza or something like that. So, fucking brilliant.
But yeah, it's a different world, isn't it? Like completely different world. And these sort of movies have a place, don't they, historically. For us, they're very reminiscent of what we watched. But I think you're right. We're going back to what you said originally. This has the carry-on DNA stuff with a bit more of a stellar cast, but there is nothing different in this movie and a bit more of a budget that I couldn't have seen Sid James fucking doing, especially the way the women are depicted in these movies. But well, I know we've not got into the trailer, but I'm sort of interested what you think, Dave. So shall we get into the trailer?
Let's go.
How did you know?
I'd be a fine soothsayer if I didn't.
Well, there's a spirit in my house.
Silence! I'm about to say the sooth.
If I've told you once, I've told you 100 times. Do not fan the girls when they're wet. But you'll never learn. You'll be a eunuch all your life.
I'm a disgrace to my family. My father will turn in his grave.
Your father is alive.
This will kill him.
Climate in the world.
In the city of Rome, or Womb, during the region of Emperor Nero, Solidus is the lyingest, cheatingest, sloppiest slave in all of Rome, whose only wish is to buy his freedom from his master's parents. Doesn't seem like that much of a terrible thing. The henpecked Stennis and his overbearing wife, Domina. Solidus finds out that his master, Senex's handsome but dim son, Hero, has fallen in love with the beautiful Phila, destined to be a courtesan, from the house next door of Marcus Lycus, a slave trader. Solidus makes a deal. He will get the girl for Hero in return for his freedom. Now, Chris, what do you reckon to the opening of this movie?
Well, Dave, I'm going to send you to Cloud City for reading that in one go. That was amazing. So you have got a Cloud City award this week. Just go to the review, Dave. Let's just go to Matt fucking Bates. You have a lot to answer for, my good friend. A lot to answer for. This is hard going. And I think because I've never seen it properly and I've just seen little bits. And I don't know whether the bits I've seen, you know, them Channel 4 fucking montage shows they do where they go like 100 greatest comedies and you've got all these fucking dead leg wannabe celebrities who are fucking nobodies going, oh, I remember watching that as a kid. And it's like, you've never fucking watched this shit before, you bellheads. Or talking about things that make no sense and you get the, don't you, this talking heads thing and they'll throw clips in. I think maybe if I've not seen it, this is where I've come across this with Phil Silvers and the singing and that. But yeah, when it starts, it's got a little bit of a Monty Python feel to it, hasn't it? Whether Monty Python was inspired by something like this. I mean, it's reviewed amazingly. Like, you know, it's seven upwards in a lot of the reviews and stuff. So 86% on Rotten Tomatoes. Fucking haven't got a clue. It must be one of them movies that... it's a classic if you saw it the first time round or you understand that. I get the jokes. I get that, like, Phil Silvers' shtick is this, like, bumbling, sort of breaking the fourth wall down in some respects character. You know, that's what he's good at. Almost like a Ryan Reynolds in some respects. Maybe a bit of a... No, Ryan Reynolds, sorry, I should say that the other way. Ryan Reynolds maybe takes a bit of thing for inspiration from the way he... is with the camera. You sort of always look as if he's going to look at the camera and talk to the audience, but it feels like, so I think Phil Silvers is good because I always liked his comedy as a kid, but it's 50 odd years old literally, and it's aged really badly, hasn't it? I mean, there are basically a lot of old geriatric fucking blokes chasing 20-year-old scantily clad girls, and nobody other than the Queen, and nobody who or whatever the first lady she is, but nobody even questions it. And I when I watch these movies now, I'm like, fuck me. I mean, some beautiful women, and it's not right, really, Dave, that you should get a bit of a fucking twitch on, because these women are probably in their 80s now, Dave, but you know, when they were younger, you know what I mean? So I have a slight problem with throwing my shoulder out, or I would have done when I was younger, I wouldn't have done. But I think now watching it, I do have that thing of like, yeah, they're beautiful, but she is the Queen's 84. Not that I like the Queen, but so that's a completely different segue I've gone down. But this isn't a good movie. Let's put it out there. It's fucking bullshit, Dave. I've got to say, I think
I don't feel that differently to you, but what I would say is I do think it is probably one of those that if you were watching this as a kid and, you know, your parents watched it because basically there wasn't a lot like it on there. I mean, there were so many historical epic movies, weren't there? You know, our parents and stuff would watch. And yeah, that's why for us it's more of a TV kind of thing, you know. But I think if you were watching this as a kid, it would be watchable. I mean, there's nothing hugely funny about it. You know, I think the only thing that made me sort of smile a little bit was where Hero goes to stab himself and it's like, oh, my bosom received thy blade or something like that, and he's so incompetent he's not able to stab himself. It was so ridiculous that did actually make me chuckle a bit. But I think watching it for the first time in 2024, it is just an interesting time capsule. I don't find the lead, kind of the Solidus guy, played by Zero Mostel, I don't find him likable at all. He's incredibly sweaty, and I think HD does not do anything for him. You know,
why that so well? I had that as well.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Weird, isn't it? Because I thought, oh, maybe. I mean, this a lot of this was filmed in Madrid, wasn't it? So I was thinking,
yes,
oh,
probably that. Just, yeah,
everyone's a bit sweaty. But when other actors were on screen, no one else was as sweaty as him. So it was just one of those things that it was slightly off-putting. But yeah, he's supposed to be this cheeky chappy. But I think watching it now, it really stands out how old all the blokes are. And like you say, it's a bunch of old blokes, but all the girls are in their 20s. And it's fucking, Chris, at some point we're going to have to rip off the Band-Aid and go back and watch a Carry On movie. And I don't think they're going to have aged very well. Well, no. I know for a fact they won't have aged very well at all. And that's what kind of puts me off going back there. But yeah. At least you know the cast. I mean, Sid James is Sid James, so you're almost detached from how old he is. But it's fucking ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, how old was Barbara Windsor in Carry On Camping or something?
Yeah,
something. He's like 60 or something. This was just the normal thing. But honestly, this was my biggest takeaway. Like, all the blokes are fucking really old. So when they're like trying to be a bit silly, it's just like a bunch of old blokes being silly and lechy on screen. That's my kind of takeaway for the movie.
You know what? I can't disagree with you, Dave. I'm like, you know what got my mind thinking is, you know, like obviously over the last few years, and this is nothing, you know, I'm not digging anyone out on the movie, but over the last few years, you've had all these things, haven't we, about like the movie industry, the way Harvey Weinstein, all the, you know, where these older guys have just manipulated, and I'm not saying anything like this has gone in the movie. However, the fact that the shtick was, let's get a load of absolutely stunning young girls and all these fucking 50-year-old actors on a set. I just, in my head, I'm thinking, I reckon there's some stories gone on when they were making this one. I know it sounds silly, and that's so wrong to be so judgmental, but knowing the world we live in and how depraved and fucking horrible Hollywood is, and it's like these girls would have had a fucking torrid time on these movies. That's in my opinion anyway. I'm not that fucking some solicitor from fucking America is going to come and get me, Dave. But
when it's the odd reality star.
fuck them. But no, I do. I feel that like there's something weird about it, watching these sort of movies where the girls are running around, like even the Benny Hill stuff. You know, when it was a kid, that you get to that age and you've got that. I used to love it when you whack the little guy's head, the little bald-headed guy's head.
Oh, it's brilliant. Recreated, brilliant. Of course, on The Office.
Yeah, on The Malcolm. Office. Malcolm, yeah. Fucking love it. But when you look back, and he was chasing the girls in the sussied up and everything. And that's this where you used to think nurses, like when you watch Carry On fucking matron or whatever it was, and then that Barbara Windsor's there in the fucking high heels with the pinstripe fucking suspenders on and all that, and then you've got
let's not go too far. I mean, there are certain things that are imprinted on one's young mind.
Well, exactly. But then you watch Benny Hill and it'd be like, oh, hang on a minute, you know what I mean? So but these weren't real things, but as a kid they're always impressionable, you know what I mean? So yeah, I don't know. I can watch them, and I do. I can imagine like Carry On Camping, which is one of my favourites of the Carry On movies. And obviously, you know, we must improve our bus thing and all that crap with Barbara Windsor. But I always find it dead funny. But when you watch it now, it's like Sid James is with his missus and obviously Barbara Windsor's. And then you've got that Bernard thingy, the big bloke who was a wrestler. And Breslau, but it was Breslau with his missus. And I'm like, Carry On in for Your Convenience at the Toilet Factory. I've watched them all, but I think you're right. We're going to have to rip the Band-Aid off, but I've got a feeling we're going to be like, oh, fuck me. You know, this is terrible. You know, not even funny, but so familiar. But yeah, this is really difficult for me to separate watching it. And I think there's some good action in it. Like some of the scenes, the way they've got them set up and the stunts and that. I know Michael Crawford did literally all the old stunts. He did it and some others do have him. He was literally a stuntman, wasn't he? A bit like Burt Reynolds, you know, he did most of his own stunts, and Burt Reynolds was a stuntman.
Now, there's a parallel.
Michael Crawford and Burt Reynolds. Yeah, Michael Crawford and Burt Reynolds. They were good friends, you know, Dave. Yeah, these are swapped stunt stories and everything, I believe. But yeah, he did. So Michael Crawford's all right, and he, you know, he's still going. And Some of Us Do Have Him was a classic, wasn't it, years ago? But I found this a real hard watch. And like when they went into the singing and shit, I was like, oh my fucking days. Has Matt stitched me up here or what? I kept thinking Matt's going to be laughing his head off. But I think it, for some people, I can also see this was a movie you sat with your parents and it was a classic to your parents. So maybe he watched it with, you know, Matt's parents watched it and it was one of them movies that you had to sit through. But yes, he loves it. I don't know. But yeah, what an interesting movie.
Yeah, I've got a feeling. I don't think this is an intended stitch up, and Matt might be listening there, shaking his fist at his podcast player of choice. But like, you motherfuckers, I fucking love this movie. I used to remember watching it on the sofa with my nan or something, you know. And again, I completely get it if you're watching it as a kid, but watching it for the first time now, you say about the music, and I think, Chris, I couldn't hum any of the tunes like right now. I can't think of any of them. And the thing is, this was a stage play first, wasn't it? And I think people still do it now. And I just think, why? Like, I don't know. It just, even plays you haven't seen, you kind of know some of the songs, don't you? You know, you might not have seen Wicked or something, but, you know, you've probably heard at some point Defying Gravity. Or, you know, you hear in the general kind of life, you know, some of these songs, and they're all catchy and stuff. But this one I just don't find, very, any of the music any good. I mean, the one thing you'd say about it, I mean, in terms of being a period drama kind of thing, or well, it's a musical comedy, I guess, not a drama, but, you know, being that period piece, it looks great. The costumes are good. The set's good and everything. All star cast, you know, even if you don't recognize a lot of the people, even if you don't know the names of a lot of people, you recognize them. I agree. I think Michael Crawford plays, he basically plays Frank Spencer, doesn't he? You know, toned down a little bit, but that's what he's playing as Hero. It's just a weird one to watch for the first time.
Yeah, it is. And I think obviously the King, he's fucking absolutely trying to get his leg over, isn't he? The whole Carry On stick with him more than anything is basically his missus is there. She's dead stern, but she likes this other guy, the one who's coming, you know, the big domineering guy who's apparently, I'm quoting, raped these towns, Dave, thrice, whatever they were saying and all this stuff. That was one of the jokes, obviously. I delivered it as well as they did, Dave, because that's terrible. But then she wants to get Lego. But yeah, it's weird because he's running around, isn't he? And then you've got this like bigger lady who ends up sort of nailing all of them, don't they? They're playing it up. Like, she's behind the narrator guy. She's like, oh, at one point, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? It's like, you know, the size thing was a massive issue, and it's still an issue. It's more acceptable for people of different sizes, as it quite should be. You know, growing up with a fucking body dysmorphia, as I'm sure we all did, thinking that we all had to look like Stallone or Arnie, not realizing that you had to take your vitamins or Hulk Hogan or whatever. As a man, I always think, I've got to be fucking ripped up. Women are not going to like me. As a kid, I used to think, my fucking girls aren't going to like me because I'm not fucking got a six pack. I don't look like Van Damme or whatever. I mean, I look like Patrick Swayze, Dave. I mean, that picture I've put up with the hat and everything next of kin. You know what I mean, Dave? I mean, John Hammond could see it.
Toy Story, to be honest.
Dickhead. You fucking put, you put finger, didn't you? What was it? Fucking
Steptoe.
It did look like Steptoe, actually. Now I've lost the weight. My fucking nose looked massive. Someone from work went, fuck me, your nose. I went, and honestly, my nose looks like it's been fucking photoshopped. I was like, fuck me. Anyway, people were slating me about it. So I did the old reverse thing, and I got Patrick Swayze from Next of Kin, and I did a bit of fucking thingy. I put it on Twitter actually, Dave. I put it on, but it's uncanny the resemblance, Dave. You know, David Beckham, fucking Swayze. You know, I'm back, baby. 45, there's Renaissance. Anyway, what was I talking about? What was the subject? Fucking gone off on one on it.
You're saying about the King and the Queen, and then the breeder, essentially, the big lady who's horny for everyone.
Yeah, that's
it seems.
The big lady, and the you know, because she's a big lady, she's fucking had some sort of fucking medicinal fucking Viagra and what's the fucking, as you would say, I love what you say. You say on, and you say this on the reality one, but it's, I nicked that saying actually, to, said it to someone yesterday, but she needs a fucking scratching post, you know, like, because she's literally rubbing herself up against everyone. She fucking nails everybody at one point. The guy's like, you know, the one who she loves, like, knock on the door. And you're right, the guy who she grabs is the one who's in the Carry On movies, a little brown haired guy who's about 60. He's in a lot of the, he's always like a bit of a comedian one. He always like ends up at the wrong end of the stick in the Carry On movie, but she gets him, the, you know, the king. I find that when they're doing the stunts, you know, and the different things with the chariots and stuff like that, I've got respect for that because that's taking a lot of time. But the music, like you say, the music's weird. It sort of fits, but it doesn't. It feels like the music's too fast at times as well. Like, I can't work it out. And the story is fucking bobbins. Like Richard Lester, apparently, like, he got so many good reviews on this, but then there is a couple who said, like, you know, it's bobbins or whatever. I'm swaying towards them. But it feels, when you're watching it, that it would be amazing if you watched it on in a play. If you watched it on a stage, whether you were into it or not, I can imagine, Dave, at the West End, as much as you said about the songs, I can imagine the silliness and the slapstick would come across better than what we see in the movie, if that makes sense. I think I'd probably, like you said, you're a very good point, like, you stuff like Grease or even Cats or whatever. Don't watch the film with James Corden, fucking shit. But you know, any of these productions, you know a song, don't you? You know, like West Side Story, yeah. Maria, you know, the sort of thing. These movies you can go with and go, oh yeah, I know that song. I know that play, that there's going to be this in it. And even I did Phantom of the Opera with one of the most famous fucking theatrical songs ever, you know, so you know it, Andrew Lloyd Webber. Never watched the show, never will, but you do know it. But with this, you don't. And it's but I can imagine it would be a great play to go and see, if that makes. And you do go and watch a lot of shows, don't you, with one of your daughters and stuff, you know, we go to the West End and all that, and it's brilliant you do that. I haven't got the fucking patience to do that. It just doesn't interest me. However, I saw Ghost at production in Manchester Opera House, and that was fucking phenomenal when I watched that on the stage. The way they did the body, and they pushed, he got stabbed, and then they pushed the floor forward. So there was two of them, you know, like, so he's lay on the floor. As he's lay on the floor, they get it absolutely perfect and push another body up. And there's, I can't remember his fucking name. I don't know what his name is in Ghost, but he stands up and it's like, what the fuck? You know, it's so clever the way they did it with the lights went down and everything. And as he gets up and looks at his own body, it was really clever. But so there, I have seen a few shows. It's just not something I usually go to. But yeah, so I've gone a bit of a tangent there. But I just feel this would be a far better show than a movie, which is very difficult for me to say because I always prefer the movies.
Yeah, and honestly, I defy you not to enjoy Back to the Future, the musical.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
It's fucking amazing. And it's really clever the way they get the stage set up and everything, because it's not like someone just rocks in and then just sets up and all the set is crap and stuff. They've set up the show to run like two shows a day. And so the kind of special effects that they put on there are pretty amazing, to be fair, how they do it. It's so clever and well thought out. But I took the kids to watch musical last week, and musical Frozen the musical, and I'm sure the kids should have liked it more than me. I fucking loved it. It was brilliant. But I think I agree with you. I think as a play, seeing it live action, seeing maybe people ad lib a bit, you know, be a bit silly, go off script a bit, I can see that would be better, more enjoyable. And yeah, I can't shake that dirty feeling. Like you say, there's a lot of tropes which are familiar from, you know, basically the Carry On films and films around this era. So, you know, the big lady. So, you know, Matron in Carry On,
yes,
Matron,
basically.
You know, was horny as fuck, basically, for
Patty
everyone.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you got all the old blokes, and then you've got the young fucking girl who's the sort of object of hero's affections. You know, she, the king, the old bloke, You know, she's just like, take me. You know, yeah. And it's just,
I'm a virgin,
there's something about the way, yeah, and I'm a virgin, yeah. And it's like, fucking hell. You know, just all of the things. And there's something so seedy. It's supposed to be funny, but so seedy about the king and the way he's like, you know, it's just like, oh, yeah, oh, you know, I've thought about it once or twice, you know, and it just feels so wrong. And I'm sure it's really comfortable, really funny to people who've grown up with it. But yeah, just not for me. Didn't do anything for me at all.
No, me neither. And I think the end bit when it's talking about the stage, when they find out that he's the son and all that, that's like something you see on stage where you'd have five or six people, wouldn't you? And it's like, you're my son. He's my son-in-law. He's my brother-in-law. He's my niece, my auntie, my uncle, whatever. That's what really made it feel like they'd just taken the script from the, you know, not really adapted it, because it just felt that I've seen that sort of thing on the stage. You know, you've got different people all around, and then someone would just pop up from nowhere at the top of the stage or something, like some up some steps, and go, well, I didn't think that, or I don't know why, but it just absolutely felt like it was the wrong platform. But yeah, I'm with you. It just there's just something off about it now, watching it. And I'm sorry, Matt, because I know, like you said, Dave, he's probably got the old Homer Simpson fist there, like, I'll fucking get you to next time. I'll make sure you watch some shit. But it's just, no, I just did not enjoy it, and I just felt really, really uncomfortable. And I've got a feeling that's what the Carry On films are going to be like, because I've got fond memories of them, Dave, growing up. They were always like a bit of a good family movie you can sit there with. And
it's not going to be a family movie when we watch it, is it?
Is it? Fuck. But anything else, Dave?
No, I guess just while we're on the uncomfortable bit, you know, the way that they're parading all of the girls, you know, when they're trying to find the one that Hero's actually, basically, he's just got a fucking boner for, hasn't he? You know, he's just seen her across the way, and you know, that's all it's all about. But again, just it's for that titillation of the cinema goers, basically, isn't it? You know, the same sort of blokes sitting in the cinema watching this. But we were talking about some of the, so the guy's name who's in the Carry On films, who we both couldn't remember, Peter William Shorrocks Butterworth, apparently, is his name.
That's a hell of a name.
It is. Shorrocks there. I wonder if that's some sort of relation. And I didn't recognize him. I thought, I know that guy. He's familiar. John Pertwee.
Oh, yeah. Doctor Who.
So he popped up, old Doctor Who. Who else here? We talked
his brother
about
wrote it, Dave. His brother did the screenplay or something per tweet, because apparently Phil Silvers was being an arse. He had an eye injury, so Phil Silvers decided to lock himself in the actual in his trailer for the movie. So they got John Pertwee, who'd played his part on the stage, to come in, and once he found out, they said he came out fucking like on top of the world. He said, and then because of what had happened, the screenplay was done by his brother. His brother then gave him this small part in the movie, but he was going to play Phil Silver's part because he'd been a dick at one point.
Right. Interesting. The other one that, you know, a British staple was Roy Kinnear. Yes. Not obviously the Wimbledon manager, but the guy who's in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. So, he popped up in Gladiator School, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he said Richard Lester used him in eight other movies after this. Blimey. The Musketeers. Roy Kinnear was always going to be, it was on the other week, actually, Dave, Willy Wonka. Fucking love
really.
Song, you know, World of Imagination. I fucking love that tune. It's a great tune.
I mean, that's one that stood the test of time, isn't it?
But
for different reasons. I mean, Willy Wonka's a bit fucked up, isn't he? And like that, Gene Wilder, the way he plays him as well. I'm not a massive fan of the remake with Johnny Depp, but when they're going down, when they're going down that tunnel, and he's just fucking talking like a madman. It's like, again, you don't pick up on these things as a kid, but I guess we did cover that, didn't we?
Great film. Can love it.
So yeah, no, not a lot else from me on this one, Chris. How about yourself?
No, not me, Dave. I think we should get into our scores.
Let's go.
So, Mr. Matt Bates, Mr. Matt Bates, I've been thinking, what the fuck am I going to do here? What am I going to do? I've got to be true to form, Dave. I've not done it for a while, but this movie's fucking rubbish. I'm sorry, Matt. It is garbage. It's dead familiar, and it just does nothing for me. Like now, watching it for the first time, I reckon there would be that nostalgia to it if I'd watched it when I was a kid. And like I said before, I have watched bits of it. I'm going to send it, Dave, to Alderaan. It's garbage.
You bastard.
I will never ever, you bastard. I will never ever watch this fucking movie again. It was absolutely awful. So. It just does nothing for me. It's aged really badly. And I want to send that off into the fucking atmosphere, never to be seen again. So what about yourself, Dave?
Well, just remember that, Matt, while you're sharing a beer over the roulette table in Vegas. I wonder where Matt actually thought we were going to send this one. Because, I don't know. I'd be interested what other people think with both frames of reference. Like if you've grown up watching this as a kid, again, I think you probably, I wouldn't say you'd love it, but it'd definitely be like a comfort thing, you know? And whereas if you're watching it now, yeah, I just can't imagine many people enjoying it. So I'm not going to be quite as harsh as you. I don't think it is so bad that it needs to be jettisoned off. I think it can be. I can imagine watching this a couple more times, which I'm never going to do. But you know, it would feel more familiar, and you could kind of, you know, if you were basically paralyzed on the sofa and couldn't reach for the remote control, it'd be watchable, I think. But yeah, I can't imagine where I wouldn't be sort of looking for something else to watch. You know, maybe the apocalypse as well. That would be another case where I could see, you know, if this was the only thing streaming, I could watch it. But yeah, so I'm going to put it to Elm Street. I think the best thing about it is the cast, really. The fact that there are all these familiar faces, the fact that there are all these familiar tropes, you know, not all of them positive from around this time. With basically comedies, it just makes it a bit of a painful watch for the first time.
Well, I'm surprised by that, Dave. I thought I'd done you when I said I was sending it to Alderaan, and you doing the same. But I can't disagree. I can't disagree. So, Dave, next week, and big thank you, Matt, as well for that, mate. I have enjoyed chatting about it. It's our good friend Math, Dave, and he's picked a movie from 1989. I have never even heard of this one. So this one is a sci-fi robot battle movie as such called Robot Jocks. So let's get into the trailer. Fucking hell, Dave, this is a Transformers ripoff or what?
It's a new age of combat.
Human beings, genetically engineered to be the best fighters in history.
Two champions.
It isn't over until someone wins.
Flamingo? I do remember seeing this one. I didn't realize it was as late as 89.
Kill it! I have already killed you.
But this was... Invincible men. This is basically Alexander what Pacific Rim is ripped off.
The ultimate killing machine.
I've never seen Pacific Rim,
I'm gonna get in this thing!
I don't know if you're missing out on much.
No, please. Oh, this looks amazing. Oh, it looks like fucking Power Rangers the way the fight.
Yeah. My word.
He got a bit of a lob on there, didn't he? A robot lob on.
Chainsaw erection.
The battle's over.
Not for me.
This looks amazing. we just covered probably one of the fucking greatest fucking comedies of the 60s with an all-star cast and slated it, and then Math brings Robot Jocks, which looks like something you find in the 50p bin in the pound shop. It's reducing the pound shop, and I'm fucking getting more excited. But Dave, that looks fucking ace. I cannot wait to watch that.
I'm surprised to hear you say that with your aversion to sci-fi, but You know, it's funny, right? I was talking the other day to Max about, I used to go up to the comic shop and there used to be this comic, Spider-Man and Zoids, this weird kind of mashup. But do you remember Zoids?
No.
That was a similar kind of thing. The little action figures and stuff that where you had these basically robots. They were more like you get scorpions and stuff like that. And you'd have these little people that were controlling them. So I think that was probably before this as well. So I you know what, it obviously takes a lot from Japanese cinema, doesn't it? It yeah. kind of looks like the old Godzilla, and actually I should do that at some point because that's horrendous. Just a bloke in a dinosaur outfit, you know, walking around this model city. So yeah, I remember watching this at the time. Like I say, in my memory, it was earlier than 89. But, you know, it doesn't actually look that terrible in terms of special effects, but let's see.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. Dave, that looks, I used to watch the Power Rangers, one of my little cousins, he loved it. And Jordan loved the Power Rangers, he had all the suits. So that looks like I was watching an episode of the Power Rangers. Fucking brilliant. I'm not into sci-fi though, Dave, as you know. But anyway, if you're... Big thank you to everyone as always. We've actually had a couple of emails, Dave, that I've not read out. So I want to read a couple of emails out, actually, which is really nice. So we had an email from Greg a couple of weeks ago, and he's put, "Hey, Chris and Dave, just a note to say, I love listening to you guys on the podcast. I'm from the same generation and can relate to a lot of the banter and the stuff you discuss. I definitely want to come up with some review ideas and requests in the near future. Also, love to see you guys do a video version of the podcast as well to upload on the likes of YouTube. I feel that would definitely encourage more interaction." Now, obviously, Greg knows me and you, Dave, models, both of us. He understands that. You know, we're aging like fine wines, not like curdled milk. he just always gives you some fun. Wishing you all the best. I'd love to chat films, cinema sometime with you guys. I often like to talk about films in general in everyday life, including on YouTube, social media, but not often in the collaborative way of other people. I hope this message finds you well. Keep up the great work and take it easy from this Scotsman in Stratford, Ontario, Canada, Greg. So thank you so much. That's a great email. And then we've had another email, Dave, from our good friend Lorraine, who's a supporter over on the CDV Alice cast as well. So 60 Minutes, she's entitled. And she put, "Hey, hi, Chris and Dave. I'm still loving your reviews, given how much Chris loves mixed martial arts. have you watched 60 Minutes on Netflix?" No, I haven't. Have you watched that, Dave?
No.
She put there, "Lots of action and fighting and a great fast-paced movie. I know it isn't a VHS movie, but I'm watching it and wondering if this is your type of movie. Keep up your great reviews and the entertainment. Your friend, Lorraine, in Australia." So thank you so much, Lorraine, and for all your support across both podcasts. That's so nice.
You know what, Chris? I saw, you know, Amazon Prime is, great at putting up some shit random movies, and the trouble is you watch one, and then it says, "Oh, because you watched this, you probably like this." I watched a fucking great one, which I've got in my back pocket, maybe for the future. It's called The Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires, and it's a weird martial arts horror extravaganza. It's got Peter Cushing in it, though.
An extravaganza.
Honestly, it's fucking amazing, but yeah, amazingly bad. So I'm gonna keep that one in my back pocket.
Well, it's my pick in a couple of weeks, Dave, and I'm bringing the heat. We're going back, we're going old school. That's all I'm going to say for my pick. I'm not saying any more, but anyway, massive thank you, and thank you for them emails, Greg and Lorraine. Really appreciate it. If you do want to email us, the vhsstrikesback@gmail.com. if you want to follow us on social media, @vhsstrikesback. And as always, if you get a chance, please drop myself and Dave a review on the podcast. We do appreciate all comments and feedback on what we do, and it just gets us up there in them charts all over the place. And well, what I would say as well, if you do want to support us, get over to patreon.com/ that's not the same podcast. I nearly said the reality one, Dave. If you do want to get over there and support us on the CD reality cast, you can get us on patreon.com. But no, patreon.com/the VHS Strikes Back if you do want to support our podcast. And we appreciate everybody who supported us past and present on this podcast. And there is a free sign up on there on the Patreon, so you can see what's going on the feed and everything, so you can come over and just follow the podcast on Patreon. So patreon.com/the VHS Strikes Back. So Dave, I'm going to do this. I know you're going to hate me for it, but why are you going to take us out with today?
Well, you know what, Chris? When it gets to this point and we feverishly realise, oh shit, he's got checkmate here. There's no way to wriggle out of this. You sort of remember, and it is this weird mental block, and you're sort of scouring through the IMDb quotes, and usually, you know, the top well-known or the funniest things are usually at the top because people get to rate them. It's like this, you know, almost like Rotten Tomatoes. You say, oh, I like that one. I like this one. And this sort of is not funny, but it goes again to say like how fucking wrong some of the humor is in not just this movie, but around the time. But the most popular quote in this is an interaction between Filler and Salidas. And Filler starts off, says, "That's the brute who raped my country, Thrace." Salidas says, "He raped Thrace?" And Filler says, "And then he came and did it again, and then again." And Salidas says, "He raped Thrace thrice?" Fucking hilarious, Chris. Really funny. As David Brent said, you know, or Ricky Gervais, rather, you know, are rape jokes funny? Well, clearly the writers here thought it was. So, yeah, anyway, Chris, thanks very much, sir. On that fucking horrendous note, I'll speak to you next time.
Bye.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we going to do now?
What are we going to do? Maybe we could build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I'll be back.
That's a lie.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Wax on, wax off.
Get to the chopper!
One ring to go.
All right.
Ding.
Bust you up.
Go for it.
Well, here we go.
Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Come on. Ain't so bad. Ain't nothing.
You must be crazy or something.
I'm crazy.
You're just a stupid fool.
Yeah, maybe
you're stupid.
I ain't breathing heavy.
He's a fool. He's stupid.
I've seen you in 6 miles.